The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In recent times, a race to slash fuel costs and carbon emissions has heralded a new era of sailing. And as a result of this, the first ever modern cargo ship purpose-built to combine both diesel and wind propulsion will be launched from a shipyard in Shanghai at the end of this month. Now, to talk about the many efforts in the bid to decarbonise shipping, I'm joined by Wind Assist technological researcher at the University of Manchester, Dr. James Mason. James, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, I remember seeing a picture of a cruise liner with sails on top. Was that a one-off or has it become a thing?
No, it's very much become a thing. I started working in this area around 10 years ago now, when I started my PhD back in 2017. And back then, there were only a handful of pretty much like demonstration projects. So the technology really wasn't proven in a real-world environment. But if we fast forward today, there are now over 50 ships with these sails installed, and with another 100 ships on order. And the number of actual technology providers that are offering this technology is growing every year too. And they're backed by some big names like McLaren Formula One and Airbus. Now, I would say that 150 still isn't a huge amount in terms of the global shipping fleet, which is tens of thousands of ships. But the technology is now proven to work in the real world, and it's really making the industry sit up and take notice about this technology now more than ever before.
Now, describe the sails that are going to be used on this big cargo ship.
Yeah, on the big cargo ship, they're called wing sails. So there are a few main types of sails, but these ones on the cargo ship are wing sails. So they essentially look like aeroplane wings, like fancy versions of aeroplane wings. So quite different to what some people might, like images that people might have in their head. I do implore people to go online and research this because they do look pretty awesome. But yeah, essentially like aeroplane wings, but instead of being installed horizontally, where the lift would take a plane off the ground, they're installed vertically. Exactly the same principle. The wind hits the sails, you get a pressure difference between each side. This creates a force. That force is directed in the direction of motion of the ship to produce power. These ships still have a main engine. It's an assist mechanism mostly, but that power reduces the amount of power the ship needs from its engine, which reduces fuel and produces less CO2.
What sort of savings are the shipping owners thinking they're going to get? I mean, there'll be savings in absolute terms in terms of the money they spend on fuel, which will go down. But as a fraction of their entire endeavour, does it make commercial sense to build these pretty expensive ships?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And the answer I always give is that it depends, which is a very academic answer. So, the amount of savings you get from these sails depends on a host of factors. Obviously, it's dependent on the wind. So it depends on which routes in the ocean that these ships actually sail on, and also the time of year in which they sail. Some of my work, particularly in my PhD, looked at actually narrowing down on some of these values. We found fuel savings of over 20% annually on average for some of the beneficial routes, say, across the North Atlantic. My work focuses a lot on a technology called weather routing as well, which is essentially understanding how we can optimize these sails. So that essentially works like a Google Maps or a satellite navigation for these ships, so that when the ship is setting off, the captains will run the satellite navigation system and it will give them a route to follow that takes advantage of the best winds along that route. And that can really optimize some of the savings that you see from the sails, going up from about 20% in the North Atlantic to over 35% on average annually. And in terms of actual like financial reductions, ship owners can be expecting to see like literally hundreds of thousands of pounds reduction in both fuel costs and reduction in environmental penalties as well.
Now, you mentioned this is wind assist. Could these ships ever manage to go by sail alone, or do they always require diesel?
So I think it depends on the size, but the alternative where the wind provides all of the power is called primary wind. And these certainly do exist. They're typically on some smaller new built ships where you can optimize the design of the vessel itself so that it works optimized with the wind. So it is possible, but I would say if we're looking at the next 5 to 10 years, I think we'll mainly see these as a retrofit measure.
Now, the limits of operation for these sails, are there times when it's so becalmed, they're useless anyway, so you don't deploy them. And in fact, can they lower them in some way? And then at the other end, when there are hurricanes or whatever at sea or cyclones, do they have to, again, flatten them out?
Yes, exactly. They can lower them, which is really important, as you say, in like hurricanes and things like that. Very strong winds, they can lower them down to stop them from producing power, so that it's safer for the ship to operate. I have heard quotes from the industry that they can work in wind speeds of up to 50 knots, which is very high wind speeds. But then actually lowering them is important for passing under bridges and things like that. So yeah, they can lower them.
Now, the question of the skill set that a captain might need, I mean, many of them are, they love the sea, so therefore they will have probably been sailing in dinghies from the age of 5 or 6 years of age. But maybe some of these skills long gone, long forgotten, because they've been driving massive cargo ships under diesel power for most of their working lives. Do they have to get a new skill set to operate these kind of things, to remember their sailing days, if you like?
That's interesting. There will be some training required in terms of operation, but the actual working day-to-day operation of the sails themselves is mainly automated. So there's a lot of clever sensors that are installed aboard the ship to measure wind direction, wind speed, and how the ship is performing. And then it's an automated, essentially computerized system. So the computerized system can change the angle of these sails to produce the most power. So most of it will be automated, but there would be some training required in terms of actually operating it on board.
What are they saying are the advantages of this return to the age of sail?
Yeah, I think for me, the main advantage is in terms of climate change. And I think these sails have a very unique position. So ships are a big contributor to climate change. The global shipping fleet pumps out about 1 billion tons of CO2 per year. So really quite a crazy amount. And there's a big focus currently in the sector on transitioning to low carbon fuels. So replacing heavy fuel oil with things like ammonia, hydrogen and methanol. But due to some pretty major barriers, those fuels won't be available at scale, at least for the next 10 years. And what our work shows at the University of Manchester is that the sector actually need to cut their emissions by at least 34% in the next 5 years to align with the Paris Climate Agreement. So effectively tackling climate change means doing something today. And these big sails are one technology that can provide that and help to reduce climate impacts. So for places like the UK and Ireland, we're talking about a reduction in extreme heat waves in summers, flooding, water scarcity, the effects on infrastructure like roads and rail and things like that. But also, I would say it also leads to a healthier population. So less fuel burned means less pollution and cleaner air. So a healthier population overall. And shipping is actually linked to tens of thousands of deaths a year from pollution. So installing these sails can at least somewhat help towards that.
Now, you talk about those low carbon fuels like ammonia and ethanol. I mean, you'll still end up with some greenhouse gases. But when you burn ammonia, I'm sure the stink will be pretty noxious.
I'm sure it might be. There are some other pretty major barriers as well. And like this infrastructure, these fuels, it doesn't really exist. The amount of infrastructure and the amount of money it will cost to develop that infrastructure is pretty crazy. So like I say, it's going to be a while before we see these fuels coming online at the scale that we need. So doing something now is super, super important. And that's where these wind assist devices can come in.
And you mentioned in passing that retrofitting might be an option, I suppose, for newer ships that still have maybe a couple of decades of life left in them. That might be an option, but might it be very difficult to do?
No, most of them are actually retrofit today rather than put on new builds. So the ship is taken out of operation for a little while and in port, the sails get installed on there. So most of them are actually retrofit today. And like you say, the lifetime of ships are 20 to 25, up to 30 years. So they're important in terms of climate change as well, because they're going to be sailing around, ships today are going to be sailing around in 2050 when we need to get to zero carbon. So retrofit at that point becomes a really big part of the picture.
Dr. James Mason, researcher of Wind Assist Technologies from the University of Manchester, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.